May this learning be a schus li'ilui nishmas, Rav Aaron Yehuda Leib, ben Rav Noach Tzvi Steinman of blessed memory. The second chapter of Masechta Brachos continues with the theme of Kriyat Shema. And I think that the basic theme of this chapter is the question of what level of concentration and focus is needed to fulfill the mitzvah of reading Kriyat Shema. Do you need to be fully focused? Can you be somewhat distracted? The Mishnayos also will end up going into a different topic based on the concept of me'inyin le'inyin ba'oso inyin. Since we're talking about one thing, it leads us to talking about something similar. The Mishnah is going to talk about the idea that maybe Rabban Gamliel would sometimes act in ways that others couldn't act because he was different. So that was true in regards to Kriyat Shema, and that was true in regards to mourning as well. So just to give a brief overview of some of the topics that this chapter of Mishnah will deal with, the first Mishnah will deal with the topic of if you're reading Torah, what level of concentration is needed to fulfill the mitzvah of Shema if you happen to be reading the verses of Shema. The second Mishnah will talk about the structure of Kriyat Shema. The third Mishnah will talk about how to read Shema, loudly, softly. The fourth Mishnah will discuss the question of can you read Shema if you're working in an uncomfortable position, which would make it hard to concentrate for a long period of time. The fifth Mishnah talks about a chasan, a person getting married. He's therefore distracted, thinking about the wedding. He can't concentrate very well on Shema. What is his obligations in regards to reading Shema? And then we get into the question of can certain sages act in ways that are different? The Mishnah talks about Rabban Gamliel in regards to mourning, in regards to how he treated Tavi, his slave. And finally, the eighth Mishnah discusses if a chasan can choose to read Shema the night of his wedding. Let's start with the first Mishnah. Hayakori b'Torah, if someone was reading in the Torah, the psukim of Shema, and he realizes, oh, the sun is rising, it's time for the morning Shema. Or maybe it's the evening, he realizes it's time for the evening Shema, v'igiyaz man ha-mikra. So, can he fulfill the mitzvah just with reading psukim of Torah? Answers the Mishnah, yes, he can. But he has to concentrate. Im kivein libo. If he concentrates his heart, according to one opinion of the Gemara, that means if he concentrates to fulfill the mitzvah, that this is a reading of the mitzvah of Shema, yatza, he fulfills his mitzvah. Vim lav, if he didn't concentrate to fulfill the mitzvah, lo yatza, he does not fulfill his obligation. Now the Mishnah talks about the question of can you interrupt your reading of Shema? Can you talk to people while reading Shema? So we have an argument. First opinion is the view of Rabbi Meir. Baprakim, in between the chapters, shoel mipnei hakavod umeshiv. If the person who comes before you is someone that you're obligated to give him respect, you can greet him and you can respond to him. Let's say if it's your father, your teacher, someone who's a big Torah scholar, you could greet him and you could respond to his greetings. Baemtza, if you're in the middle of a chapter though, you couldn't talk to someone who you have to honor, but you could greet someone who you have to fear, let's say a king, who may shiva, and you could respond to him. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's the view of Rabbi Meir. The second opinion is the view of Rabbi Yehuda, who distinguishes between greeting and responding. Rabbi Yehuda omer be'emtza, in the middle of a chapter, shoel mipnei hayira, yes, you can greet those who you fear, but you are allowed to respond to people who you have to honor who greet you first. And Baprakim, between the chapters, Shoel Mipnei HaKavod, you can greet for those who you need to honor, Umeshiv Shalom L'chol Adam, you can respond to everyone, even to those whom you do not need to honor. That's the view of Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Next Mishnah. Eluhin bein aprakim. These are the different moments that are between the chapters. Bein bracha rishona l'shnia, between the first blessing before the Shema and the second. Bein shnia l'shma, between the second Ava Rabba or Ava Solam and Shema itself, the first paragraph. Bein shma l'vahayim shamoa, between the first paragraph of Shema to the second, to vahayim shamoa. Bein Vayom Shemol Vayomer, between the second paragraph of Shema and the third, and Bein Vayomer Le'emes V'yatziv, between Vayomer and the final blessing after the Shema, Emes V'yatziv, in the morning. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He doesn't think that that last point is a Bein HaPrakim. Bein Vayomer Le'emes V'yatziv, Lo Yafsik, you should never interrupt, according to Rabbi Yehuda. I'm Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha now explains the structure of Shema. Lama kadma Shema levahayim Shema. Why do we have first the paragraph of Shema and then the paragraph starting with the words? And if you will listen to the mitzvos, you'll have a good time in the land of Israel. And if you violate the laws of God, you'll have suffering in the land of Israel. So why Shema first? The idea is the following. Sheyakabel olav ol malchus shemayim tchila. First we have the message of Shema. Here, believe that there is one God. Accept the yoke of heaven. Accept the obligation of mitzvos. V'yacharkach, and after we've accepted belief in God and the yoke of heaven, yekabel olav ol mitzvos. Then there's a paragraph that we need to accept the particular commands, all 613 commands. V'hayim shamoa, the second paragraph is before Vayomer. The third paragraph, shevahayim shamoa, noig Vayomer v'layla. The second paragraph talks about all the mitzvos, which is something which applies by day and by night. Vayomer, the last paragraph, is talking about the mitzvah of tzitzis. So, eino noeg elo bayom, that's only during the day where it says, ur isim osam, you shall see them. And therefore, mitzvos that apply by day and by night are more special and prominent and important than mitzvos that only apply during the day. That's where we have the second paragraph before the third. The third Mishnah discusses how to read Shema. Do we read it out loud? Can we read it very quietly? Says the Mishnah, Hakori Yatshma Velo Yishmiel Ozno Yatsa. According to the first opinion, you can read Shema very, very quietly, so quietly that you read it and your ear did not even hear what you said. You still fulfill your obligation. That's the view of the Tana Kama, the first opinion. However, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, Lo Yatsa, if you read Shema and it was so soft that you didn't hear it, you don't fulfill your obligation. The Bar Tanura explains halachas like the Tana Kama. You do not actually have to hear the words that you are expressing. What about, though, if you read it and you mangle the letters? You slur the words. Karavalo ditik bos yoseh. You read and you weren't precise with the letters. So when you have two words that are end, one ends with the same letter that the next begins with, like al levavcha, you slurred it into al levavcha. So what happens if you read without being particular in the letters? Rabbi Yossi Omer Yotza, Rabbi Yossi says you do fulfill your obligation. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Lo Yotza, Rabbi Yehuda says you don't fulfill your obligation. And again, the Bar Tanura says, halachas like Rabbi Yossi, you fulfill your obligation. Hakori l'mafreya, if a person reads sentences in Shema completely out of order, Lo Yotza, he doesn't fulfill his obligation if he read sentence 3 before sentence 2. Karavita, if a person's reading Shema and he makes a mistake, so Ya'azor l'makum shata, he should go back to the place where he made a mistake and pick up with his reading of Shema. Mishnah Dalad. Ha'umnin korin b'rosha ilan. Mishnah Dalad deals with the question of how much concentration do you really need for Shema. So let's say a craftsman, he's working on the top of a tree, or he's working on the top of a new wall that he's building. So ha'umnin korin b'rosha ilan. Even if though they're standing at the top of a tree, and it's hard for them to concentrate, they can still read Shema, because really all you need in terms of concentration for Shema is to concentrate on the first pasuk, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And that you can do even when you're balancing yourself on the top of a tree. Oberosha Nidbach, if he's at the top of a row of stones, he's building a wall of cinder blocks, he can stand at the top and he can read Shema. Mashen and Rishayin Lasos Kein Batfila. However, you would not be able to stand at the top of a tree or at the top of a wall and to daven Shmona Esrei, because Shmona Esrei requires concentration in a greater measure, and a person who is in such a tight circumstance is going to have a hard time concentrating for so long. The fifth Mishnah, again dealing with the question of distraction and concentration, talks about a chassan. A groom is very excited about his wedding with his wife and being together with her. Because he's so excited, he's not going to be able to concentrate on reading Shema. And therefore, chassan patur mikriya Shema b'layla harishon. A chassan the first night, the night of the wedding, is exempt from reading Kriyat Shema because he's so focused on his wife, he won't be able to concentrate on Shema. In those days, they used to get married, as we'll learn in Masechta Ksubos, on Wednesdays. So he might be so excited and so distracted that he's unable to read Shema all the way ad Matzei Shabbos, until Saturday night, Imlo Asamaisa, if he hasn't yet laid with his wife and been intimate with her. Because again, he's so distracted, he won't be able to concentrate on Shema. That's for most people. However, Maaseh Rabban Gamliel, Rabban Gamliel, who was the Nasi, it was a story with him. Shakara Balayla Rishon Shanasa, the very first night that he got married, he read Shema. Amar lo Talmid, of his student, said to him, Oli Matana Rabbeinu, but didn't you teach us, our teacher? Shachasan Patami Kriyat Shema Balayla Rishon. A groom, because he's distracted, thinking about his wife, does not have to read Kriyat Shema on the first night. Amar lahem, so Rabban Gamliel said, I'm different. I will not listen to you to annul from upon me accepting the yoke of heaven even for one moment. In other words, I'm someone who's so focused on God, even though I'm very excited about the marriage, I can certainly focus on Kriyat Shema, and on the contrary, I'm obligated still in reading Kriyat Shema. Now, talking about Rabban Gamliel treating himself differently than normal people and the way halacha normally is, we have two mishnayos that now talk about the way Rabban Gamliel acted in regards to mourning. Normally, a mourner, someone who suffers the loss of a close relative, is not allowed to bathe. But Rabban Gamliel, rachatz laila rishon shemesa ishto, the first night, right after his wife died, he took a bath, a warm, hot bath. Amar lo Talmidav, his student, said to him, I don't understand. Loli matana Rabbeinu, didn't you teach us, our teacher, sha'avel aser li'erchotz, that a mourner is not allowed to bathe? Amar lahem, he said to them, eini kishar kol adam, I'm not like other people. Istinis ani, I'm very finicky. As Bartanura explains, I have a very cold, chilly disposition. And if I don't bathe, I'm in pain. So my bathing is not bathing for pleasure. A mourner is not allowed to bathe because it gives him pleasure. He's not allowed to give himself pleasure. But I'm bathing just to avoid pain. And since I'm bathing to avoid pain, I'm allowed to do so. The seventh Mishnah also talks about Rabban Gamliel when his slave, his non-Jewish slave, Tavi, passed away. Ukashemes Tavi Avda, when Tavi, his slave, passed away, Kibel Alav Tanchumen, he accepted wishes of Nechama, where people said to him, Hamakom Yenachem Eschem, Misok Sharav Elitzion Yerushalayim, may the Almighty comfort you amongst all the mourners of Jerusalem. Amar lo Talmidav, his student, said to him, I don't understand. We don't understand, they said. Tavi wasn't fully Jewish. Loli Matan Rabbeinu, didn't our teacher teach us? She'en Mekabon Tanchumen Alavadim, we do not accept wishes of consolation for the loss of a slave, because slaves are not Jews. Amar lahem, he said to them, Ein Tavi Avdi Kishar Kala Avadim Kasher Haya. Tavi, my slave, is different than other slaves. He was very righteous. He was a great Torah scholar. And therefore, his loss should be mourned the way the loss of a Jew is mourned. And yes, it's appropriate to give wishes of Tanchumin for those affected by the loss of Tavi. Finally, the Mishnah goes back to the topics of Kriyat Shema and concentration on Kriyat Shema. We learned back in Mishnah 5 that a chassan normally is so distracted because he's excited about what he's going to be able to accomplish with his wife, and he's thinking about his wife and the mitzvah, that a chassan the first night is exempt from Kriyat Shema. If he's not together with his wife the first night, he would be exempt from Kriyat Shema the first couple of nights till Matzah Shabbos because he's so distracted. What happens if a chassan says, I still want to read Kriyat Shema? So, we have an argument in the Mishnah. Chassan imratza likros Kriyat Shema laila rishon kore. The first opinion is that any chassan who says, I would like to read Kriyat Shema the first night, can do so. Reb Shimon Gamliel, Omer, Reb Shimon Gamliel says no. If a chassan would read Kriyat Shema the first night, he's showing that he's able to concentrate. But that's just not true. Most people can't concentrate on Kriyat Shema. And therefore, for him to show that he's able to concentrate, that's a little bit of arrogance. Maybe he's not really concentrating, he just wants to pretend that he's the one who's concentrating. Lo kol arotz alito lo sashem yito. Not everyone who wants to take an important title to himself, to call himself a sage or a pious man, is allowed to do so. And therefore, a chassan should not choose to read Kriyat Shema the first night, unless he's a great Torah scholar, like Rabbi Gamliel. However, the Bar Tanura says that this Mishnah, in terms of practical halacha, does not really apply, because most of us, anyway, nowadays, do not really have great concentration when we read Shema. Therefore, we should read Shema even when we are chasanim, and we shouldn't say, oh, I'm a chasan, now I'm so distracted, I won't be able to read Shema, because generally, unfortunately, we do not have the best level of concentration when reading Shema.